Speaking of Travel is sponsored by the Asheville Regional Airport, your local connection to the world. And when you fly home, you're home. Plan your next trip at flyavl.com. Prestige Subaru, outfitting Western North Carolina for adventure with the 2019 Crosstrek. Find out how to make it yours at prestigesubaru.com. Urban Escape Vehicles, a camper van rental service in Asheville, North Carolina. Get a taste of van life and book your adventure vehicle today. Visit uevrental.com. And Leapfrog Tours, offering tours and transportation so you can enjoy the beauty, adventure, and culture of Western North Carolina. Find out more at leapfrogtours.com. Welcome to Speaking of Travel with Marilyn Ball. Sit back and be carried away to places around the world and right here in our own backyard. No passport required.
Hi, this is Marilyn Ball, and you're listening to Speaking of Travel right here on News Radio 570 WWNC. Now, you be sure to visit the Speaking of Travel website, that's speakingoftravel.net, and sign up for the Speaking of Travel Travel Club. You'll receive the latest in travel news and travel tips and some really cool upcoming vacation destination opportunities for 2020, including a really fabulous trip to Cuba with small footprint travels. So that'll be a Speaking of Travel and Small Footprint Travels trip to Cuba in February 2020. And remember, you can always listen to this episode of Speaking of Travel or any past episode with a simple click on the Speaking of Travel website on the iHeartRadio app, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn. And get ready, Asheville Chow Chow, and Asheville culinary event is just around the corner, so save the date. September 12th through 15th, it'll be in Pack Square downtown and really all over. This is going to be one awesome culinary festival. And trust me, it's not your average wine and food festival. So find out more. Go to chowchowasheville.com. That's chowchowasheville.com. Well, I have to tell you, I've been thinking about learning another language, and I've heard about these language immersion schools for quite a while. Whenever I travel abroad, I always take a few language classes, maybe get on some app and practice every night. I practice the tenses, and when I get to the country, I do all right. But you know what? Then I'm home, and it's gone. So I'd been wondering, what if there was more? What if you could dive headfirst into the deep end of language learning? Well, my guest today literally just returned from a full-on language immersion school in Ecuador. And Cindy McMahon is here. She serves on the Buncombe County School Board and has over 25 years of management experience in nonprofits and small businesses. But Cindy is on a sabbatical right now from her work this summer, and she's been relaxing, but also taking some incredible adventures. Cindy, it is so great to have you here today.
Marilyn, I am so glad to be here. I'm glad to be home in Asheville. I had a wonderful time, and it's always great to come home.
And you were gone for 2 full weeks, right?
2.5 total, yep. 2 weeks of Spanish immersion school, but extended a little bit on the beginning and the end.
And tell us exactly where you were in Ecuador.
I was in Cuenca, Ecuador, which is, I believe, the third largest city in Ecuador, and it's in the Andes.
Ooh, way up in the mountains.
Yes.
So had you ever been to Ecuador before?
No, I had never been to South America at all.
Ooh, so this was really a big time, big jump in the water kind of trip.
Oh, it was. It was so fabulous.
Well, let's go backwards and give us a little bit of insight in how this idea even came about for you.
Sure. So I've been serving on the school board for almost 5 years now. And as you know, we have more and more immigrant families here in Buncombe County and families who speak Spanish. And it has felt important to me to be able to help them feel welcome in their own language. And up to now, I haven't been able to do that. And also in my work with nonprofits, there are many organizations who have boards and staff who speak Spanish, and I would like to be able to communicate with them as well.
So when you started to think, I would like to do all of these things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be taking a sabbatical. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you take a sabbatical? You just like say, I'm taking a sabbatical?
Well, it certainly depends on your work. And I work with Western North Carolina Nonprofit Pathways, which was very flexible. And I appreciate the co-leadership model that we have that allowed me to take this 6 weeks off this summer to have these adventures.
And really kind of reboot, recharge,
yes.
come
yes.
back as you are right now, just full of so much
yes.
learning
yes.
that you'll be able to give back.
Yes,
not
absolutely.
Only to them, but to the whole community.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how you ended up in Ecuador.
Well, I explored various Spanish immersion programs. There's several in Mexico, and Cuenca has many, many Spanish immersion schools. And I had a young friend who was there several years ago, the son of a friend of mine, and talked to him about this program, and he explained how it all worked. There are several options. You can take Spanish and then also volunteer, or you can take Spanish and then do a cultural program, which is what I did. And it just sounded like the perfect fit for me. And of course, they all have websites and you can explore them and research them online as well.
So you went and started doing a little research.
Mm-hmm.
How long did this process take from the time that you decided that this was your place mm-hmm. to the actual departure date?
I probably reserved my spot, a month or 2 months ago, not that long. And it worked out just fine, yeah.
And how many people are in this program with you?
So I signed up. I really had no Spanish before this. I had studied for several months just on Duolingo on my phone, but never taken any classes in high school or college or anything. So I was a flat-out beginner. And I signed up for group classes. But then when I got there, I was the only flat-out beginner. So I had one-on-one Spanish, which I think I ended up learning a lot more because it was one-on-one, even though I was kind of hoping to be in a group. But taking classes at the time I was there, there were probably about a dozen people in the school altogether.
And where do you stay?
So I was in homestay, and that was also arranged by the school, which I can't remember if I mentioned, but the school is Yanapuma in Cuenca. And so the school arranges the homestay. It's all really easy. Your homestay family provides breakfast and dinner, and you only have to go find your lunch, which is very easy in Cuenca also. You can get a $2 lunch with no problem.
And you went by yourself. That's something that I want to talk about a little bit, because not only have you never been to South America, you don't speak the language, and you're traveling solo.
Yes.
What did that feel like? Did you have butterflies in your tummy?
Whew, that was hard. Yes. I was nervous about it, and I was nervous about being by myself without my husband there. He and I have been married for 27 years. We've been together for almost 30 years now, and this was the longest that we have ever been apart. And he has more Spanish than I do, so I certainly felt like I was, as you said, jumping into the deep end, going off by myself and doing this. And I'm a huge extrovert, so it was, especially when I first got there and I had a weekend in the beginning without plans, without anything organized for me, it was lonely. It was so lonely. And that was really, I would say, one of the biggest challenges is thinking, okay, this is all about me and what do I want and where do I want to go? And there's nobody else here with me to be my teammate as I do this. And that was a tremendous growth experience for me.
How long do you think it took before you kind of got into the groove that I'm here and I'm doing this?
I would say so. I got to Cuenca on a Friday, and then I had the full weekend with no plans, and then I started classes on Monday. So I would say by the time I got into classes on Monday and I had a structure, I was certainly ready for that structure. And so then for the 2 weeks that I was in classes, that went really well, and I had excursions on the weekend in the middle, and then by the end, I definitely felt ready to come home. So it was sort of a bell curve, kind of a healthy process, I would say. It was just exactly the right amount of time.
That is so great.
Yeah.
Well, when you got off the plane and there you were having your homecoming with the hubby, did you speak Spanish?
Hugs and kisses are not in any language. But we have been speaking a little bit of Spanish since I've gotten home. But mostly it's been in English, which is nice. That's comfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
So how much longer is your sabbatical now that you're back?
Yeah. So I have another 2.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So you can really take all of this that you've learned and practice it and find some other groups locally to get involved in. And I want to find out more when we come back from the break about the home experiences, what it was like to live with other people and what the town was like where you were. I'm here today with Cindy McMahon. We're talking about language immersion, traveling solo, really stepping out.
With 50 flights every day to and from cities like Atlanta, Charlotte, and Chicago, you can fly to hundreds of worldwide destinations with one easy connection. Choose Allegiant, American, Delta, Elite, or United right here from Asheville Regional Airport. And when you fly home, you're home. Asheville Regional Airport. Take the easy way out.
It's summertime in Soupyville, which means it's time for adventure here in Western North Carolina. Or more aptly, time to get outdoors and outgoing down a road less traveled. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. And off the beaten path, nothing says tough like the tried and true reliability of an all-wheel drive Subaru. There's a reason why 97% of Subarus sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today and ready for the next adventure. Discover the beauty of all-wheel drive at Prestige Subaru, 585 Tunnel Road, Nashville, or visit us online at PrestigeSubaru.com.
Hi, I'm Ann Smith with Leapfrog Tours. Whether you're a local or visiting Western North Carolina for the first time, Leapfrog Tours offers fun opportunities to explore the area from beer to art and everything in between. We offer tours with set itineraries, custom excursions, and transportation services all over the area. We can help you explore, enjoy, and experience the beauty and culture of Western North Carolina. Learn more at leapfrogtours.com.
Live your road trip dreams with Urban Escape Vehicles, a camper van rental service in Asheville, North Carolina. Get a taste of van life with the ultimate all-in-one adventure vehicle. Check us out on Instagram at urban_escape_vehicles or go to uevrental.com and use coupon code radio to receive a discount on your first camper van booking. And we're pet friendly.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Hi, this is Marilyn Ball. Welcome back. You're listening to Speaking of Travel, and I'm here with my guest, Cindy McMahon. And Cindy is telling us about the language immersion school that she was in for about 2 weeks, right, Cindy?
Yes.
In Ecuador. You were telling us, you know, traveling solo, especially for the first time, you have your traveling buddy, your husband, and your family. You've got two kids. You travel a lot as a family.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are all by yourself. Tell me a little bit about the people that you were staying with and how you were able to comfortably get acquainted.
Sure. So I ended up having two homestays. And the first one, of course, I was very nervous. I just got a cab from the airport, pulled up. It was a very busy street. There's this big wooden door with a bell. I didn't know if anybody was going to be home. I have my suitcase. There goes the taxi. See ya. Here I am in this busy street. What's going to happen if nobody answers? You know, so I ring the bell. And fortunately, my host was right there ready for me. Her name was Maria Dolores. And so I stayed with their family for the first week. And that was, I really loved Maria Dolores. She was wonderful. Her daughter, Alejandra, who was 7 years old. Alejandra and I had jump rope competitions. It was really fun. I loved them as people. The space was a real challenge for me. The family lived upstairs, and they had their guests on the ground floor. And there were no windows, to see outside at all. I had a big window in my bedroom, but it looked out into this courtyard where there was some filtered light from the ceiling up above, but there weren't any windows. There was no way to see outside. And so what that forced me to do was to get out into the city, because I had to in order to be able to see the sun or the outside. But I never had any downtime while I was staying there where I could see out. So that was the first challenge. And then the second challenge of living in that house, which, you know, no way could I have predicted this. Maria Dolores's mother lived in the house with her, and I think several other family members, but they were upstairs and I didn't see the full family. Anyway, her mother had been ill. And after I had been there for 3 or 4 days, her mother died in the middle of the night in the house. So I woke up at 2:45 a.m. and I thought it was daytime because there was so much light outside this window in my room. And I looked at my phone and I thought, my phone says it's 2:45. Is my phone broken? You know, I'm banging on my phone trying to fix it. It turned out it was just lights from the upstairs, because everybody was awake because the grandmother in the house had died. And so then, you know, not only were there no windows, but there's just tremendous grief in the house. And I spoke to Maria Dolores and said, should I change my homestay? I feel like I'm an imposition now, you know, saying what I could in Spanish to try to explain my feelings about this. And she was, no, you need to stay. I need to work. I need the money. So I was in a real bind. So a couple days later, I finally spoke to my Spanish teacher about it at Yanapuma and said, here's the situation. It's challenging. I feel like I should stay. But on the other hand, this is not really what I expected. And my teacher said, no. This is not what you signed up for. I need to get you out of there. We're going to change your homestay. So after the first week, I switched to a second homestay. And it was actually really poetic, because the first host, as I said, was Maria Dolores. And Dolores means sorrows in Spanish. And my second homestay, my host was Luz Maria. And Luz means light in Spanish. So I went from Maria of Sorrows to Maria of Light. And my second homestay was just so delightful. I really connected with that family and had a big, huge window and a balcony in my room. I went to the spa with Luzma. She went by Luzma. We just had a wonderful time, and she was a great cook too. So two very different experiences, and in both cases, I felt connected to the family and really welcomed. But the second experience was definitely more positive than the first.
And through all of this, you're learning their language.
Yes.
So
yes.
Let's talk a little about that. Who in this entourage of people, the people you stayed with both the first week and the second, your instructors, mm-hmm. How much did they speak English? Were you there only to speak Spanish? How did that happen?
Yes. So they spoke English as little as possible. They each of those people could speak some English, you know, different amounts for each person. But I was there to learn Spanish. So occasionally I would say, ¿cómo se dice?, which means, how do you say? And I would say the word in English. And if the person knew, then they would tell me. So ¿cómo se dice? Was a very favorite phrase of mine. But really, I was doing it all in Spanish. And so I learned a ton. In my Spanish classes, I had 4 hours in the morning, one-on-one with my Spanish teacher. And then I had 3 hours of the cultural program, one-on-one with another Spanish teacher who was walking me around the city and showing me the parks and the churches and the everything to see in museums, all in Spanish, and teaching me as we go and correcting me as we go, as I'm fumbling along trying to ask my questions in Spanish. So that's 7 hours of intensive one-on-one Spanish instruction during the day, both in the classroom and out in the city. And then I come home at the end of the day and have dinner with the host family in Spanish. And I go to sleep, crash, wake up in the morning, have breakfast with the host family in Spanish, and it starts all over again.
Did you ever feel like, I'm not getting this, I can't do this?
No, I never did. And that's the amazing thing. I'm 53 years old, proud of my 53 years. And I went there thinking, you know, I can barely remember the words I need in English. How in the world am I going to learn a new language at this mature age? And it was no problem. I really felt like, if anything, my brain was gaining elasticity through this process of learning Spanish. And I felt like I could remember more English words because I was learning Spanish. And it just, it felt thoroughly energizing and empowering. I never got discouraged.
That is so refreshing to hear because I think sometimes people get kind of, you know, the voice in your head is, I can't do this. I really want to do it. I want to be able to speak fluently in another language, or at least to be able to get it. Mm-hmm. But it's like going to school. Mm-hmm. And what if I fail? Mm-hmm. Or what if I can't do it? Mm-hmm. And so it's really very affirming,
yeah,
to hear that it just kind of clicks in. Did you feel that you could understand them more as they were talking than you could even speak?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And the amount that changed over the 2 weeks I was there was also amazing. When I went with the tiny bit of Spanish that I had learned on Duolingo, you know, I could, if I was eavesdropping on a conversation, I could pick out a word here and a word there, sort of like little mosquitoes, you know, but I couldn't string them together to make any sense. And by the time I was there for even just a week, I could listen to somebody else's conversation and get the gist of it. I couldn't get all the details, but if they were talking about their weekend, I could understand that they were talking about the weekend, that they were going to go to the country, that they were going to have a barbecue with the family, and the aunts and uncles and the cousins were going to be there. I couldn't probably tell you exactly what they were going to eat or how many people or whatever, but I could get the gist. And that was a complete surprise to me. I really had no idea it would happen that fast.
That is really great. And I bet there were a lot of smiles and laughter. And did you feel that everybody was like on your team?
So supportive. And really, that was a big difference that I saw from being in this country. You know, in this country, when you meet somebody who's learning English, people are not very patient typically. And you hear a lot of snide comments about learning English. And there it was different. People were supportive.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk more about what this city was like, mm-hmm. because it just sounds like such a beautiful city. And tell us again the name of this particular school.
This was Yana Puma in Cuenca, Ecuador.
And this is Marilyn Ball. You're listening to Speaking of Travel.
Green is good. Local food, less oil. Renewable energy, sustainable peace. Tree hugger. Say no to GMOs. Be kind to animals, don't eat them. Go solar. Coexist. Don't buy a dog, rescue one. Keep Asheville weird. We just read the bumper stickers on the back of a Subaru. Welcome to Subieville. Prestige Subaru. On the web at prestigesubaru.com.
This is Tina Kinsey with Asheville Regional Airport, and I have a travel tip for you today. When you travel by air, it's important to stay hydrated. And why is that? Air travelers experience physiological changes due to increases in altitude and cabin pressure, and also the recirculating air in an airplane creates a dry environment. Staying hydrated can help you feel more comfortable, ward off illness, and help you have more energy when you're flying. So, to stay hydrated, follow these tips. Avoid drinks with sugar, and that includes alcohol. Eat foods with high water content, such as fruits and soup. And always bring a water bottle with you and fill it when you get to your gate. Make it a goal to drink the full bottle of water during your flight, then fill up again when you land. Thanks for listening. Asheville Regional Airport. Take the easy way out.
If you think van life looks like a lot of fun but aren't quite ready to buy a camper van, rent an outfitted adventure van from Urban Escape Vehicles. Awake each morning with a cup of coffee while breathing in fresh air and planning your travels for the day. Check us out on Instagram at @urban_escape_vehicles or go to uevrental.com and use coupon code radio to receive a discount on your first camper van booking. And we're pet friendly.
Hi, I'm Ann Smith with Leapfrog Tours. We love showcasing Western North Carolina, where there's a little something for everyone. You can sip your way through the extensive craft beer scene, see elk in their natural habitat, learn about the benefits of hemp and CBD at a sustainable farm, go on a history lesson along the French Broad River, and those are just a few examples of our fun tours. Learn more about our tour and transportation services at leapfrogtours.com.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Welcome back to Speaking of Travel. I'm your host, Marilyn Ball, and it's time to travel along the gourmet highway with our good pal, Doc Lawrence. And today, Doc's in the alpine town of Helen, Georgia, celebrating the dog days of summer. Hey, Doc, Helen, Georgia, one of my very favorite places. I bet you're getting plenty of winery visits going on and fabulous dining and maybe even doing a little trout fishing in the Chattahoochee. But I'm sure, as always, you're making some new friends.
Marilyn, did you hear me yodeling? Well, I'm not exactly in the Alps, but I am in the alpine village of Helen, just north of Atlanta, a place that has a totally different feel than the big city, though. Marilyn, I first came to Helen before it became a tourism mecca when I was a kid at Emory, and the late Manuel Maloof, who owned Georgia's most famous tavern in Atlanta, drove me here to meet his uncle, Charlie Maloof, a Lebanese immigrant who had this dream of turning a small, sleepy mountain town into something special that would enrich the local economy. And did he succeed? Today, restaurants, cafes, music, festivals, wineries dot the city landscape. Most of the year, Helen is jammed. On weekends in particular, leaf season and holidays, Marilyn, forget about it. Stay home. Marilyn, if you were here around Helen in 1977, you would have seen our good friends Burt Reynolds, Sally Fields, Jackie Gleason, the great one, and Jerry Reed filming Smokey and the Bandit right here. How much fun that was. There are cabins, B&Bs, and motels for lodging everywhere. But Marilyn, I like the woods, and I booked a cabin in nearby Unicoi State Park, and I am here in paradise. Marilyn, I keep looking for that big mama bear and her young cubs to stop by one morning for a snack. Fly fishing in Helen is a top sport. The Chattahoochee runs right through the middle of the city, and there are tournaments held regularly. My favorite winery and tasting room here, maybe in Georgia, is Habersham Winery. It's a pioneer facility just down the road where vinifera, the great wine grapes of Europe, are made into wine here, sold, and the local operation is tops. Food, well, just name it. Tonight, though, I'm booked into Bernie's just down the road, and they have a menu that would be the pride and joy of the best in Buckhead and Atlanta. Tonight we're having duck breast with sweet potatoes, a smoked trout salad, and a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon from nearby Yono Mountains Winery. Eat your heart out, that it's going to be delicious. And you know, I like to keep a bottle of Jack Daniel's handy, just in case Bernie's doesn't serve cocktails. And I'll pour a drink for everybody. With Doc, the Jack is always free. Well, Marilyn, I've been fly fishing today, so I guess it's time to go change into some nice clothes and get ready for tonight's dinner. So, for Marilyn Ball, and speaking of travel, on the Gourmet Highway, this is Doc Lawrence saying so long from beautiful Helen, Georgia, and I hope to see you in your hometown soon.
Doc, you know, Helen is a place that sure packs in the charm. You always know how to have a fun time. Well, remember, travel slowly. And you can follow Doc's journey on the Gourmet Highway by visiting thegourmethighway.com. Now, if you want to learn another language, like my guest Cindy McMahon has done over the last couple of weeks in Ecuador, then look into a language immersion school. And Cindy, I want to ask you about that because you were saying earlier there are so many choices. You've got all these different countries. And what would you recommend somebody look for specifically, now that you know, now that you've been in an immersion school, what would you say as you're doing research, would you look for in regard to what the amenities are and what, you know, that it's a good school?
That's a great question. So definitely for me, I was looking into different schools in terms of, do they have group classes or one-on-one? And as I said earlier, I thought I wanted group classes, and I ended up with one-on-one, and I think that was better for me. So the universe provides what you need. But also looking into, do they provide housing in any fashion, and how is that handled? And how far, if you're in a homestay, how far is that from the school? Are you going to have to take a taxi? Do you get to walk? How does that work? Do they have shared bathrooms? Do they have solo bathrooms? What do you prefer? And really knowing what your own needs are first before you go into this, so that you can find a school that's a good match for your personal needs.
And are these schools accredited? I mean,
I have no idea. That's a great question too. There are certainly reviews online. As I said, I spoke to somebody personally who I know who had experience with this particular school, so his recommendation was enough for me. But yeah, there are reviews online and other ways of knowing. And Yanapuma, one of the things I loved about it, I ended up with having, over the course of the time I was there, I experienced 5 different teachers, profesoras, all female, and just the consistency and the really high level of professionalism and how they went about the process of teaching was really strong and consistent throughout the whole school. So I don't know if I was lucky or if because this friend recommended it, that was the way to go. Yeah.
Well, it sounds wonderful. And what did they – so give us a typical day in a class. You said you had one-on-one for a while. And
yes.
Then you had the cultural
yes.
part.
Yes.
So when you were having the one-on-one, did she have exercises for you to do, and was there writing involved? How did that go?
So there was writing involved for homework, which I think the word for homework is tarea. It took me a while to learn that word. Maybe I don't like homework, so it made it harder to remember it. But anyway, but most of the writing that I did in the class situation was taking notes. So my teacher would present me with okay, now today we're going to do regular verbs. And so here are the different groups of regular verbs, and we would practice conjugating them and kind of writing that out and taking the notes. And then, okay, we would do that for 10, maybe 15 minutes. And then for another 30, 40, 45 minutes, we would just have a conversation using those verbs. So she would ask me about my life, about Asheville. I talked all about Biltmore House, about my family, about the rivers in Asheville, explaining all about what my life is like here in Spanish using those verbs that I had just used. And then asking her about her family and her experiences and her holidays and blah, blah, blah. And so it was really personalized and practical using what I had just learned.
Wow. Well, it sounds like it was a progression of, I don't really know that much Spanish
yeah.
at all,
yeah.
to, oh, I'm having a conversation and telling you about where I live.
Right. It was a progression that happened not overnight, but over the course of 10 minutes, you know, from when I sat down in the chair the first day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is really spectacular.
Yeah.
And then in the afternoon, you would go out and tour the city and
right.
be looking at
right.
art, and
yes.
everything would be in a conversational
yes.
Spanish.
Yes. And so I would be, again, attempting to use those same verbs that I had learned in my class in the morning and making mistakes all along the way. And my kind teachers would correct me as I made mistakes so that I could learn through my mistakes. And while I'm doing that, I'm also learning about this park that I'm in, or this church that I'm in, or this museum that I'm in, or the history of Cuenca.
And tell me just a little bit about the Andes. What was that like? Were you at a higher altitude?
Yes. So Cuenca is at about 8,500 feet. And then from there, on the weekend, I did a tour to Cajas National Park, which is quite close to Cuenca. And at the highest point there, we were at a little over 13,000 feet.
Had you ever been in a country
No.
like that?
No, I had never experienced that kind of elevation.
And how did your body do?
When I landed Quito, I flew into Quito first, which is a larger city and higher up. It's at 9,500. And so I got some headaches in the beginning, but I took ibuprofen and really was fine within a day or two.
Wow. Well, Cindy, when we come back, I want to find out, you learned a lot of Spanish, but it sounds like you learned a lot more.
Yes.
This is Marilyn Ball. I'm here with Cindy McMahon. We're talking about language immersion schools and Ecuador.
Your business trip shouldn't start with a road trip. Hundreds of global destinations are just one connection away, starting at Asheville Regional Airport. Fly Allegiant, American, Delta, Elite, and United. Asheville Regional Airport, your local connection to the world. Visit flyavl.com to plan your next trip.
Every story has its beginning, a starting point from which it wanders the long and winding road, weaving its way toward the final word. It is on this road where the greatest moments often lie, where memories are made, lessons are learned, and where experiences can be valued forever. Each story is a journey, blind to what lies ahead and conditioned by the road behind. While the destination may or may not be known, each journey is unique, unfolding in the moment and defined by those at the wheel. Regardless of where your journey takes you, it remains yours to create. Embrace the journey. Find your ride at PrestigeSubaru.com.
Hi, I'm Ann Smith with Leapfrog Tours. Whether you're a local or visiting Western North Carolina for the first time, Leapfrog Tours offers fun opportunities to explore the area from beer to art and everything in between. We offer tours with set itineraries, custom excursions, and transportation services all over the area. We can help you explore, enjoy, and experience the beauty and culture of Western North Carolina. Learn more at leapfrogtours.com.
If you think van life looks like a lot of fun but aren't quite ready to buy a camper van, rent an outfitted adventure van from Urban Escape Vehicles. Awake each morning with a cup of coffee while breathing in fresh air and planning your travels for the day. Check us out on Instagram at urban_escape_vehicles or go to uevrental.com and use coupon code radio to receive a discount on your first camper van booking. And we're pet friendly.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Welcome back to Speaking of Travel. This is Marilyn Ball, your host. I'm here with Cindy McMahon. We're talking about language immersion schools. And, you know, our passion for learning another language could come from anywhere. Maybe you always heard your grandparents speaking Spanish, or you'd finally like to communicate with other people, like Cindy was saying, in our community. And spending time in a language immersion school is very positive. And Cindy, one thing that you had talked about earlier was being able to come back and use the language in your work on the Board of Education, being on the school board, working with people in the nonprofit sector of who speak Spanish. How do you feel now that you're back? Do you feel more prepared to be able to do that?
Certainly I do. I feel more prepared partly because I know a little bit more Spanish, and really more so because I'm more comfortable with making mistakes. And I'm not embarrassed. I'm not afraid to just try and to just think, okay, what is it I want to say? And what words do I have that are even a little bit related to that? And so that I can get my point across, maybe not with the exact words I want, but I can communicate. And folks, as I said earlier, are generally very supportive when you try. And I don't mind screwing up.
Well, that's a good jumping off point into another area, which is what we had talked about earlier, just taking this leap of faith.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do something I've never done before, go somewhere I've never been before, go by myself. How do you feel now, just in a short 2 week span, 2.5 weeks, how do you feel coming back, having gone over that ledge, if you will?
Sure. So I think it tapped into a side of myself that has been asleep for a little while. I have done some brave things in the past. I wrote a book. I ran for school board. I've done things that were hard in the past. And there's, when you tap into your brave side, it really wakes up your heart. It wakes up your spirit. And you remember that sort of rush of courage. And I love that. It's kind of addictive.
It is kind of addictive. And you've traveled a lot, you and your husband and your two kids who are now out of the house. Children are grown and out doing their own thing. And do you feel that as your children were growing up and you and your husband were able to take them to more and more places, that helped spark in them kind of a wanderlust?
Oh, absolutely. Marie goes to UNC Chapel Hill and her major is global studies. She spent 6 weeks in India this summer with a group from UNC. My son, who is a musician, has traveled to various places around the world to play music, but also just to explore. So, yeah, it's a family love.
So here you've taken this family love and did it yourself.
Yep.
You did it all by yourself. Let's talk about that a little bit more, too, because solo travel, you know, women traveling, there's risks.
Sure.
There's always risks. How did you kind of prepare yourself to step out and take this this leap, if you will?
Another great question. I'm not sure if I really prepared myself or if I just leaped. I packed my bags and I learned a little bit about Cuenca before I went, but not a ton. And it's really more about making good choices while you're there, especially traveling as a woman. So I didn't go out at night much unless I absolutely had to go out and get some dinner and come back. So there were things I probably missed out on because I was traveling alone and couldn't be out much at night. But there was so much to do during the day that it didn't even matter.
And you were talking about being an extrovert, and I can totally understand that. So when you were out and about, did you feel like I just want to go talk to people?
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to kind of step out? You had mentioned earlier that when you first got there, you were feeling a little bit lonely, mm-hmm. and here you are all by yourself. But as time came on, did your true nature of just being the happy-go-lucky person that I know that I'm sitting here talking to you, did you feel like you could sit and have drinks with people? And
well, I think it was easier with my host families, but here's a little story. So when I was first there, one thing I learned about myself, which I kind of knew already, but I remembered, is that I'm really not a city girl. I love the country. I love being out in the trees. And so when I first got there and I was staying on a very busy street, lots of diesel fumes, just the go, go, go kind of feeling in the city, I was really needing some peace and tranquility. And I found a museum called Pumapungo, which was not too far away. And there was an indoor part of the museum. And then there was an outdoor part with ruins. And it was close to the river. And there was a pond and there were trees. And I felt like I was filling up my spirit with a little bit of nature that I had found in the city. And this was early in my time. And I was standing there just looking out at this pond, and a 12-year-old girl came up to me and started talking to me just out of the blue. And she said to me in Spanish, no, actually, she said it in English. She said, "You are so beautiful." At this moment where I just needed some human connection, the universe delivered it. And I turned to her and said, "So are you." And we had a little bit of conversation, some in Spanish, some in English, back and forth, talking about these big goldfish that we were looking at and talking about how do you say fish in Spanish? How do you say it in English? How do you say orange in English and Spanish? And just this wonderful moment that really was just a few minutes, but it'll stay with me forever. It was such a wonderful moment.
That is a wonderful moment. And being in an environment, like you said, of making these kind of choices. What am I going to do now? Where am I going to go? How am I going to feed my soul here? And that's the wonderful thing about travel.
Yeah.
You just never know.
Yeah.
You truly are living in the moment.
Oh, so much. And when you're learning a language and you only know present tense verbs, you have to live in the moment because you have no past and you have no future.
Well, there you go. That puts it all together. So if somebody is wanting to experience a language immersion school, what would you recommend as maybe a first step? Getting online?
Yeah, getting online, determining which continent do you want to be on? Which country do you want to be on? You know, I had decided, well, I've been to Mexico, I've been to Central America, I've never been to South America. So this is a good opportunity to see what South America is like and learn the language at the same time.
And do you feel that you'll go back there someday?
The world is so big, Marilyn. Every time I travel anywhere in the world, I think, I love this so much, I have to come back. And then I think, oh, but there's so many other places I haven't been to yet. So who knows?
Who knows?
Yes.
So give me some idea of some bucket list places for you, Cindy.
Oh, well, I would love to go back to many of the places I've been to. I've been to Ireland and I would love to go back there. I love it. I need to go, I think, to more places where they do speak Spanish so that I can continue to build my Spanish. So maybe other places in South America, maybe other places in Central America. Who knows?
Well, the sky's the limit. You
That's
can really
right.
go anywhere in the whole wide world.
That's right.
Well, Cindy, thank you so much for being on Speaking of Travel today. It's really been just educational to find out how to get involved in a language immersion school, hearing your stories and your experiences, the moment in the park, just such a beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. And like you said, something that you'll really never forget. And is there a way that somebody can get in touch with this school online? Just if they were interested.
Yeah, so they have a website. Again, their name is Yana Puma. So it's YANAPUMA. And they have schools in both Quito and Cuenca, Ecuador.
And I just wanted to ask you real quick. So in the time that you were there, did you travel within maybe an hour radius,
yes,
2 hours?
Yeah. So in the cultural program, my maestra took me on the bus out to other little towns outside of Cuenca too, which was just lovely.
Well, I love the way that you just drop these Spanish words in so fluently now, Cindy.
Yeah, right.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, for sharing your stories and your experiences.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a delight to be able to talk about it.
Thanks. Well, this is Marilyn Baugh. You've been listening to Speaking of Travel. You know, go out and have a really great week and do something different. Look into a language immersion school. Who knows? You could find yourself in Ecuador someday speaking Spanish. You might want to go to Mexico. I've been in Cuba a couple of times. They have immersion schools there, too. But if you can't do that, just, you know, go online and get an app and start talking in a different language. Meet somebody on the street who you know maybe speaks a different language and learn a few phrases so that you can engage with them and say, hello, how are you doing? Where are you from? Just go out and do something new. Take a risk. Take the leap. Because remember, life is short. Don't postpone joy.